This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2022, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders Educational Programs on March 24 and 25, 2022, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Good afternoon. So we are looking at foundations for effective design. I would love to start by asking how many of you have done or do graphic design on some basis or the other? Okay, there's a good number here. That's great. So I'll assume that you know a little bit, at least, but you know, what I want to provide today is some, shall I say, foundational tips, techniques, whatever you want to call them, that will provide you a basis for designing whatever it is you design. You know, design can range anything from the simple brochure to a big book. You know, and design really goes beyond graphic design, but that is more or less where we're going to be looking today. I also wanted to mention that my background is in branding and advertising, so much of what we look at today will be, it will come from that context, but the same concepts apply no matter what you're designing, so don't let that scare you off. So we are going to look at foundational concepts. These are just a few basic concepts that you'll want to keep in mind in your design. The elements of design, I want to look a little bit at color and type. Structure in design, this is a little bit about how you structure the kind of the underlying structure to your design. We'll look at some common mistakes that that I've seen quite a bit. And then I want to look at some design examples and talk about what's good or bad about them. And I hope to give you all a little bit of a chance to interject some of your own thoughts throughout here. So, as I mentioned, these concepts are basic general rules and ideas that will help you in your design process. These are just kind of some of the easy take-home points that I would suggest you keep in mind. One, design with purpose. A lot of times we enter into design looking at it as, you know, the process of making something beautiful, or maybe making a piece of artwork, or sometimes we call ourselves artists, and that's okay, and that's true to an extent. However, the purpose of design is not to make something beautiful, but to create something functional that communicates a message, and beauty will come as a result of good design. And you know, good design can even be a piece of artwork, but that's not necessarily our driving motivation. So that's just kind of a foundational, philosophical thing that I like to bring up there at the beginning. So for example, a book cover, the intent is to communicate the contents of the book. In this case, it effectively communicates that this is a story about a prisoner, probably from the Holocaust, I think it is. Another example, Carhartt's brand identity. It very effectively communicates their values and their customers' values, including hard work and durability, that, you know, kind of has that tough, rough and tough feel. So that's two good examples of, you know, kind of the purpose of design, communicating. Another concept, keep it simple. Less is more. The simpler your design is, the more effective it will be. The more powerful its message will be to its viewers. this is one thing that I think can very easily make or break a design, and it's something that we as designers have to wrangle with a lot, because we are given tons of content sometimes for a little bit of space. So how to simplify it? It can be done by removing repetitive content. This is something that I see happen a lot. My clients will give me content to go on a cover, and you know, there's a title and there's a like another tagline, and they both say the same thing. Why? Just get rid of one. So that, you know, cut out the content that isn't necessary to communicate your message. If there's something in there that really doesn't add to the message, do away with it. As a designer, it is your job to craft that content into usable content. And just because there's space in your design doesn't mean that it needs to be filled with something. Believe me, this is something that customers don't always get. They'll be like, here's a blank spot. What can we put in there? Leave it blank. White space is great. So I'd like to ask you, what do you think? Is this an example of design that utilizes simplicity? Any thoughts? Yes? No? I see some heads shaking now. I agree. Let's flip slides here. This, you'll notice, just by eliminating repetitious content, you know, these two really say the same thing. By eliminating this little bit of text, it simplifies what content we have. Using one image is just as powerful. It communicates a message in a much more pleasing and effective and readable way. Make it engaging. Good design will capture your viewer's eyes, and it will subsequently hold their attention. This can be done through your choice of design elements, you know, text, photos, graphics, and other imagery. What do you think? Is this engaging? I think it is. It maybe isn't 100% truthful, but it communicates a message, and I think it does it very well. By the way, Steel is a company that I think does very well in their design. Now, let's look at a little bit at some of the elements of design. One thing I did want to ask, did you all get a handout? If not, maybe raise your hand and he can give it to you. There's a few things on there that you may want to look over as we go through this section. And there's also some resources on there that you might find helpful afterwards. So our first, when I'm talking about elements, I'm talking about, you know, the things that make up design. In this case, today we plan to look a little bit at color and type. That's kind of the two main ones that I want to look at. So starting with color, you know, color is a big part of our design. It gives it personality. It can communicate emotions and feelings. If you use it effectively, it'll make a good design. If you use it ineffectively, well, we've probably all seen those cases. Here's an example. I think this is very well done for the application. If this were a dentist's office that were targeting 40-year-old males, probably not. But since their audience is children, you know, the brightness, the exuberance of it, I think communicates very well. Again, American Express, you know, if you were to take that dentist's office into their design, you'd have a hard time trusting them as a credit card company, I think. So in this example, their use of subdued and simple blue palette, it communicates trust and competence. One thing I wanted to mention, on your handout, there's a chart there that says colors convey emotion. That's a helpful little chart that I suggest you could keep in front of you if you're doing design. It gives you some of the emotions or the feelings that are communicated through specific colors. I find the whole thing of color psychology quite intriguing, and how, you know, different colors will communicate different things. Like, for instance, and you know, you shouldn't use certain colors in certain applications. For instance, you probably don't want to use blue for food related because it has a tendency to subdue a appetite, whereas yellow has kind of the opposite effect. So it's just something interesting. The color wheel is a very helpful tool that you can use when selecting colors. In this example, this color wheel shows the primary colors, red, yellow, and blue, as well as the secondary and tertiary colors. Red, yellow, and blue are kind of considered the primary colors, and the others are just a mix of those. What I wanted to spend just a little bit of time looking at is the different types of color palettes. So you have kind of the first and simple one, should I say, is the complementary. This is a high contrast color theme that utilizes two colors on the opposite sides of the color wheel. So in this case, you see the red and the green. Those are directly opposite. So those colors are what we call complementary colors. One thing to keep in mind, if you're using complementary colors, it is going to be very high contrast. It may, depending on your design, it may be too high contrast. So that's just something to think about. Split complementary has a lot of the same, you know, it has some of the strengths of complementary, but is a little bit less contrasty. So you create that by choosing, in this case, the red, and you go directly across the color wheel to the green, and then you go on either side of that, and you have the yellow green and the blue green, and so you can use those two colors with the red. An analogous theme consists of three colors that are side by side on the color wheel. In this case, it is the blue green to the yellow green. And triadic is where you simply take three, kind of cut it up into three slices, cut the pie into three slices, and you have the three colors that make up the triadic theme. Again, that is a very high contrast theme, so you need to be careful with that. Depending on your application, it may not be a good one. So here's an example. This is what I would consider a complementary palette. Is a blue and an orange. I say blue, it's kind of a subdued blue, but it more or less is that blue and orange complementary theme. Again, purple and yellow, they make a complementary theme, or violet. The simplicity of an analogous color theme. In this case, the yellow, orange to red create that theme, and it's very eye pleasing. It doesn't give you a lot to take in, which can be great for relaxing the eye. This is more or less a triadic theme. You have the reds, the yellows, and the blues. It's a very, very bright, contrasty theme. And this, one thing I wanted to point out here that kind of goes back to one of the points I mentioned earlier, you know, certain colors having certain meanings. Blue and yellow, there's a reason Walmart uses it. It communicates cheap. So, something to keep in mind. So one thing to think about when you're choosing colors is that the colors you choose have enough contrast. One of the things this is kind of a common mistake I see, is that a designer will choose two colors and they're too close alike, and it creates kind of what we call color vibration. So kind of a tip for deciding if your colors are a good theme and if they'll work well together is to place them on top of each other, something like this. And you'll notice that if you look at the edges of the colors, in this case, it almost looks like the blue and the purple, like the edges vibrating. If you see that, it probably means that you don't have enough contrast. This is an example of what I would consider good contrast. Let's talk a little bit about type. Type is an essential part of your communication. Your choices in fonts and type styles, it can really, affect the potency of your message. For example, Yeti does it very well. Again, a little bit like the Carhartt example we looked at earlier. They're selling a rough, tough product, and their choice of typefaces communicates that very well. Another example. That one's very futuristic, and what better way to describe Tesla? So how do we go about choosing fonts? There's a few things that you need to think about, because, choosing fonts is one of the bigger design choices or decisions you will make. So I'd like to provide just a few pointers on how you can effectively do this. Choose a font that fits your message. This is something I see with a lot of new designers, and I was this way when I started. And that is the tendency to gravitate towards script fonts, just because they're beautiful, they add a sense of complexity to your design. But they may not be the best option, because in this case, does it really communicate the built for tough concept? No. On the right, we have an example that very effectively does that. And their choice of typefaces combined with the graphic styles communicates the message much more effectively. Choose a font that's readable for your application. How many of us have received a form letter in the mail and it was set in script typeface? Probably threw it in the trash because you didn't feel like going through the pain of reading it. There again, script typefaces, they can be great. I mean, I have nothing against them. It's just that they need to be used in the right application. One thing I just wanted to mention a little bit about type classifications. There's kind of what I would consider three basic classifications now. I mean, you can find a list of five or more, but I would say most fonts fall within these three in some form or the other, and that is the serif typeface, which the reason it is called serif is because it has what we call serifs on it. You'll notice the little, on the end of the T, those little line, little strokes, and at the bottom as well. Those are what we call serifs. A sans serif basically means without serifs. And your script is kind of based on handwriting, more or less, or brush script type of lettering. So when we choose fonts, one general rule to follow is choose 1 to 3 fonts max. Oftentimes, 2 or even 1 will be enough. However, if you choose more than one, make sure that there's enough contrast between the two styles. Because if you don't, one of the things that can happen is it looks like the designer made a design made a design decision halfway through the project and forgot to change the rest. So if you have two serif typefaces and they're just a little bit different, that's one thing you'd risk. So choose fonts that have contrast between each other. In this case, we have a serif and a sans serif. They work very well together and very effectively. Another thing I'd like to talk briefly about is X-height. This is a term you might come across. X-height is the height is the distance between the baseline and the line at the top of most of your lowercase letters, and it's specifically called that because the X normally defines that height. And that, you know, as well as the V, the W, and the Z. So in the examples here, you have the high X height and the low X height. So when choosing a font for large bodies of text, choose a font with a higher X height because it will be more readable. If you notice here, the one on the left, it's a little harder to read, and especially if you go down to, you know, print size text, it's going to be a stretch. So that brings us into tips for typesetting, you know, body copy or larger bodies of text. This is a skill that I think is a good one to have, one that I don't necessarily consider myself the expert in, but I'll provide you what I know. In general, your font size should probably be in the 9 to 11 point range. A lot of word processors automatically put it at 12. Generally, that's plenty big. 10, I would consider a good starting point. You can go up or down from there, you know, depending on, and this can depend some on your audience. If your audience is mostly old people, you might want to go bigger. If it's, yeah, teenagers, smaller is probably okay. Avoid widows and orphans. This is terminology that we use for, in this case, a widow is like that little line that comes when you split a paragraph across columns or pages and you get that one little line at the top. That's what we call a widow. And an orphan would be that one little line that ends up at the bottom. In general, you do best to avoid those, in general, you should. Paragraph alignment. Avoid the centered or right aligned text for most large bodies of text. You can do this sometimes for, you know, smaller little captions or something, but when you have large bodies of type, it's a lot more readable if it's left aligned or justified. Limit your lines of text to 50 to 60 characters per line. The longer your line is, the harder it is to read. So let's talk a little bit about structure. You know, how can we create a visually balanced and readable design? There's what we call symmetry and asymmetry. We probably pretty much know what that means, but symmetry is when, you know, you split a design down through the middle and both sides more or less mirror each other. Here's two examples. The one on the left, there, the McDonald's ad, we have a very symmetrical design. Whereas with the Burger King one, it's very asymmetrical. And I think, you know, both are done very effectively, and I think both are great. But it's, you know, one thing to think about. You can utilize symmetry to create, you know, to easily create balance, whereas asymmetry can create a little bit of visual tension in your design and lead the eye around your page or whatever it is you're designing. It's kind of cool, isn't it? That's true. Make sure you use good hierarchy when you're making your design. It'll make it a lot more readable. I'd like to show you an example of bad hierarchy. The one on the left there. Yeah. What do I look at? We can make it much more readable simply by enlarging some of the type, changing a color or two, bringing out certain points. Rule of thirds, this is something that can easily help you create a nice balanced layout. And you do this by simply splitting your design into thirds. You, depending on what software you use, you might be able to bring guides down. They'll say half and thirds. And then you can place your different important items at the third marks. In this case, you have the tile falls on that top third. The man falls on the right third line. Very, very visually pleasing. So let's talk a little bit about some common mistakes that I see and how we can avoid them. I think we've all seen this. You know, somebody puts a photo in, maybe it's of a person or something, and they stretch it. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they want it to fill up a space or something. This is obviously something we don't want to do. It's unrealistic. One thing we can do to avoid that is hold the shift key. This is especially in Adobe software. I will say some other software may be slightly different. But holding down the shift key when you're resizing will prevent you from making this mistake. Using the wrong color space, it's been surprising to me how many times I've received a design and it's, you know, for print and it's in RGB. The difference between CMYK and RGB, CMYK is a more or less print-specific color space, whereas RGB is intended for on-screen. Websites are always designed in RGB. Even the photos you take with your camera are RGB. They can be converted to CMYK for printing. But that's just something to keep in mind. If you have your color space set correctly, it will ensure that when your design goes to press or goes to get printed, the colors will be closer to what you were imagining. Another mistake, using unnecessary effects. Drop shadows, inner glows, feathers, bevel and emboss, the list goes on. I'm not saying these effects have absolutely no place, do they? Yeah. They can be used effectively. But in general, it's a quick, tends to be a quick crutch for trying to make something look better, I guess. But usually there's other ways you can accomplish that other than effects. And like I said, they can be used effectively if done well and they're very subtle. This comes back to the whole thing of simplicity that we talked about earlier. But you look at this, maybe the 10 to 30% off catches your eye first, but it's very, very cluttered and hard to read. So this comes back to cutting back your content, making it, presenting it in more readable and less overwhelming chunks. Really? Don ate your glasses? This is another problem that you run across, and that is kerning. Kerning is the spacing between two letters. And there are some fonts out there, especially these free or cheap ones, low quality ones that are not kerned well. So that's someone thing you want to watch. If you use them, you might want to fix that. This little trick that I'm going to give you applies to Adobe. Again, it may be different for other design software, but I'm sure if you look at the help, there'll be something there. But on a Mac, it's, if you use the Option key and if you place your type cursor between those two letters, between the N and the A, and you use the Option or Alt in Windows, and your left or right arrows, it will move that space. One thing I will mention, if you run into this with a font that you're using for large bodies of text, you might be better off to just choose a different font, because who wants to go through pages and fix it? I don't. If you do. I think every designer's nightmare. Comic Sans, Iris, and BrushScript times New Roman and Arial, these are kind of five of the do not use fonts. Comic Sans, for obvious reasons. And interestingly, there was a news company that did a study once, and they tried on their website displaying an article to people using a different font. It was automatically. Some people saw it in this font. Some people saw it in Comic Sans. Some people saw it in, I think, Times New Roman or something. And then at the end, they had a poll whether people believed it, the story. And if it was in Comic Sans, it had a lower believability rate. some of the others, like Times New Roman, Arial, they're not necessarily, I'm not going to say they're badly designed fonts. I actually think they're designed well. They're just overused. They were included with every computer. And it could give away the connotation of a lazy designer. Let's look at some examples. This is kind of the fun part to me. I would love to have your interaction here on this section. I'm going to look at just a few and ask you what you think, if it's good, if it's bad. Here's one. What do you think? Is this a good design? Yeah, I think so. What makes it good?
Simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
There's design and center.
Symmetry. Anything else?
Contrast.
What grabbed me first was the font.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what there's that. But it looks like something very sturdy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a very good choice for the application. To me, it's just the simplicity of it. This is a good example of cutting back to just the necessary content. We know that this is a brochure for fire pits, just by the photo. It doesn't need to say fire pits on that. Brio, that gives us the Brio logo, gives us the brand, if we know that. That's really all we need to know at this point. We can open it up and get more info. Another thing I'd like to point out is just the use of thirds. So it's a very symmetrical, it's centered, but the Brio logo ends up on the third, more or less the third line. It may, I don't know if it's 100%, but very close. Here's another example. What do you think? Good? Bad? You say repetitious? because...
I kind of like it, but...
Oh, okay, so let me be specific here. This is for packaging, just so you... Like, it's different packages, just so you know.
Like, the colors are fun, but I find myself, like, reading each one.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're all different.
So I actually think this is very good design. I think it's... I'm going to go out on a limb here and say it's some of the best packaging design I've seen. And here's why. It's a good example of functionality. I mean, this design is very functional. So these are packages for, I think some of them are pills, one of them might be like Band-Aids. It tells you a lot with only a little bit. You know, we go into the store, when you go to Walmart, go to the medicine aisle. We are given all these names, you know, can't pronounce. And you have to look at the fine print to even know what this is going to treat. Well, this designer kind of went against that norm and created a very functional and, I think, pleasing design. Each package has the symptom that it will fix, and also if you don't like swallowing big pills, it tells you the size of the pill. all within that simple design. I think it's very well done. What do you think?
Bad.
Did you read it? It's saying that the author deserves to die. Not really. This is I think a very good example of just a designer making a big mistake. It could have been avoided simply by changing the typeface on the title versus the author, and the colors, doing something, changing things up a little bit between the author name and the title would have fixed the unfortunate contextual error. So you know, that's one thing to think about. There's little contextual things that you might not notice at first, or when you're designing it, and you know, often as designers, we spend so much time looking at it, we don't notice those things. So that's, I guess, a plug for having your work reviewed by somebody. What do you think?
Good? Bad?
Good.
I think so. Again, just very simple design. The way the title interacts with the photo, I think, gives it a very engaging feel. Again, it's symmetrical and balanced. Speaking of balance, one thing I wanted to mention is the whole thing of, you know, top versus bottom weight. You know, if you have too much on the top, it can feel top heavy. In this case, I think they did very well by keeping that heavy dark on the bottom and the top is light. It gives it a very anchored feel.
Monochrome gives it a different look too.
What was that?
Monochrome gives it a different look.
Yep. Simplicity of the black and white or monochrome. And he laughs. Good or bad? Yeah, I don't know what this designer was thinking, but it's actually, yeah, I know what you're thinking. It's a design technique that can work if it's done well, but in this case, I don't think it was. Do you really want to heal the breakfast? What do you think? Good? Yeah? See some heads nodding. Can anybody give me some thoughts on what makes it good or what makes it bad, if that's what you think it is?
Color palettes.
What was that?
Color palettes.
Mm-hmm.
Erase the bottom words and make the right hand bigger.
Good. Mm-hmm. I think it's mostly done well, but yeah, you make a good point actually. That on that one, it's not very readable. Now, I will say, I think these are big posters, maybe so, maybe a little bit more forgiving. I think this is an example of good design actually. Again, just the way the logo interacts with the imagery. It's very engaging and very almost feels like you can reach out and grab those leaves. Another thing, this speaks to the whole thing of functionality of design. It communicates with the audience. That is one thing that you should think about probably almost the most when you're creating something is, you know, who is viewing this? And will this appeal to them? Will it attract them? I think this does that very well. Good. I think this is a good example of what I call unconventional design that's very powerful. I think it's very, very well done. Don't be afraid to think outside of the box. Now, sometimes your clients might not like that, but don't be afraid to try. Our job is to sell them on that. I think this communicates the message very effectively, and yet, you know, also, and it's also eye-catching. It would grab your attention. I'd love to know if this actually was a billboard or if it's just some place contextual design, but more conceptual.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So on that one, the same phrase has two different colors. How does that make for readability, or when should you talk about that?
Well, I think in this case, it's probably necessary just because you're overlaying on you know, on a dark image, whereas the bottom is a white. You definitely want to be careful. How should I say? You don't want to have too much change between the two lines, or it will look like two different lines of text. So, for instance, if they had to also change the typeface, that would probably be a bad thing. I think in this case, it's effective, and it. You could argue that the readability of the type on the top might be a negative, but I think conceptually, this is a very good design. So that's what I had for you. I thought I'd give an opportunity if anyone has any questions. The other thing I did want to just mention, the design resources on the alt text side of your handout. Just some things that, some places you can go to get fonts and help with color palettes. I also wanted to mention the software bit. Affinity, I wanted to specifically mention that because I know one of the things I've run into, especially if people are doing, you know, especially if it's like a, you know, a case where you don't have a huge budget for Adobe software, it can be, I mean, even as a full-time designer, I hate paying for Adobe all the time, but I have to, so.
Is the software file compatible with Adobe File?
I think there's some form of compatibility. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I will say their affinity is very similar. Like the design of the software feels very much like Adobe.
Okay.
If you're going back and forth between it, might take a little bit to get used to it, but yeah, I think it's a very good alternative. Anyway, looks like I'm getting to 0 minutes, so thank you for your attention, and yeah, enjoy designing.
Thank you for listening. All recordings from Reach 2022 are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. To purchase additional recordings from Reach or other Faith Builders events, visit us online at www.christianlearning.org or call us at 814-789-4769.